Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So I'll tell you what not to do in life.
What?
Which is hop off your lunch break where you're looking up a few bits about toxic masculinity for you to share your screen, and that's the first thing that pops
up. Oh no.
Let me just share my screen. Oh no, wait. Forget you saw that. Ah, sorry.
At least it wasn't, you know, porn.
But often on my lunch break, but often.
Hello, and you are very welcome along to the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. My name is Jen.
I'm Carla.
And this week we are joined by the fabulous Podge Henry. Some of you listeners are over here because you heard us on Podge's podcast, the Podge Podcast. Plug yourself there, Podge. Give us an introduction.
Hi, everyone. Hi, just to you or to everyone listening?
Speak
your mind. Hello everyone, my name is Podge and I have a podcast called The Podcast, where I was delightfully joined by Carla and Jen a few weeks back, and as of recently I'm also now a sound technician, so I'm delighted to just really be upskilling during this pandemic.
Very true. Oh, we've had an absolute nightmare. Carla has been having a time of it with the equipment.
I have. Podge, if you send an invoice tomorrow.
You know what's funny though? Like, it's so fitting. Do you know, like, this time last year, you'd be like, oh, he's having trouble with their mic. Or be like, really, it'd be a novelty. And now it's like, I'm going to throw this laptop and myself out the window if I don't get this working.
Gemma was like, that's it, we're buying you a laptop. I was like, this laptop, the only thing I will use it for is podcasting. Like, there's not one other thing. I have a work laptop. Otherwise, I don't use a laptop. Who uses a laptop?
I use
a laptop.
It's a what else can you do?
Porn again, is it?
Before and after lunch. Before and after dinner. Before and after.
15-minute break. Smoke break. Second smoke break. Podge is
fucking your man. What's it? Matthew in Wolf of Wall Street.
I'm just going to, like, walk in sideways. Like, I have to walk left to right when I'm going places. No, that actually is not what it's like. But I use it for, like, just anyone wondering.
Just to clarify.
I use it for, like, editing videos and watching Netflix and stuff, you know?
Actually, I have a fucking bone to pick with you.
Oh, I can't hear you, Carla. You're gone again. The mic's gone again.
You're on mute.
What?
On mute.
Oh, no, you're not there. Oh, God bless. So the last time you recorded with me and Jen, and that was great. And then at the end, you just decided to drop the chestnut. By the way, this is also going up on my YouTube channel. And me and Jen were like, oh yeah, no, that's fine. And then you fucked off, and I called Jen, and I was like, did he let you know that before?
Because
he fucking didn't let me know.
I'm not great at like, because it's only as of recently I've been doing that. And the only reason I do it is because, like, one or two people are like, oh, I prefer to watch podcasts. I was like, I'll put it up. But I don't really do much promotion around it or do any clips, so I sort of forget that I do it, if that makes sense. And then at the end, and that has happened before. I should really have a checklist, because I forgot to tell you about the cold open as well, and asked you to come up with a joke, and then Jen came up with two jokes.
Jen's jokes were just terrible.
One was good, the other one's in the backlog. The other one I've kept safekeeping.
The other one maybe.
If you ever want to blackmail.
But no, you're right. I apologised. God, That was such a dumb mistake by me.
You're not forgiven.
I know that. I can tell.
We were greasy fucks, the both of us.
I'm pretty sure I looked like a sewer rat. Like, I'm not joking. I was like a proper bloke. It's like, well.
I wouldn't have thought that at all. I find it funny because, like, I don't know. I thought it was great.
you can tell
I'm nervous by the like high pitch great. It was it was good. Yeah,
I thought you girls were amazing. So good.
Who did your makeup? It was amazing on the podcast.
It was really good. I wasn't wearing any makeup. Thanks, Podge, for reminding me of that one. Thank you. So I'll be sending my cease and desist in the post sometime soon.
That's okay. Yeah.
Keep an eye out.
Just send my B45. Yeah, so now it's not tradition. Just send me back the B45.
No, but in fairness, the two of us afterwards, we were like, but do we really give a fuck what we look like? I mean, we're on Instagram 95% of the time with no makeup on, so it's fine.
I think one of the reasons why me and Jen don't do this visually is because, oh, how scatty that we get, you know what I mean? Just a little bit of notice would have been fine. It would have just been on semi better behaviour. Then I was like probably roaming around the room at one point, like taking the mic for a walk.
It's also like, you know, the look when you're having like an actual conversation with someone, and or like if you think, I don't know about you, but when I smile, it's like you can see more gum than teeth, and I have big teeth as it is, so there's a lot of like facelifting going on there. And I hate looking back at it, because when you're having an actual conversation with someone, you know, you're listening, you're actually paying attention, but when you're paying attention, you're not actually focusing on how weird your facial expression are, so you're kind of like,
yeah, and then you notice things that you're doing then as well. It's just like, oh my god, I have to have it. Eh, is that what people say? Fuck, eh. Was I picking me teeth? Seriously?
Jen. That was the weirdest thing. You were. No, you actually weren't. You weren't.
For the whole thing, I flossed at one stage. No, I didn't.
Oh, guys, the fun we have, huh?
Yeah, well, you're right. Yes. That is something I need to have a little checklist. Thank you. Anything else we need to air off before I cry?
No, just plug yourself. So you have the podcast, you are on Instagram, you're on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm on TikTok. Do you know what? Any time I've been recognised in the last, like, I'd say year, which it hasn't been that much, I don't mean it in the sense that I walk outside and there's paps there. Every time it has happened, it's always been from TikTok. But I've stopped making TikTok videos. So I don't know why people are still, like, seeing the way TikTok is weird, like it's just the algorithm, your video from months could come up.
Yeah.
So I should probably plug that more. I am on TikTok and rapidly losing followers. So if you wanna keep in check with that, that's Podge Henry as well. But yeah, Instagram is probably where I direct people to most. That's where I actually actively use, and you know.
Yeah. I'm kind of gone the opposite now. I'm not really using it. I'm avidly losing Instagram followers because I just haven't fucking been on it.
I think everyone is. I've seen something. I think that a lot of people are, because there's so many bots as well. So there's a lot of bots that are being, or fake accounts.
Oh, they're getting
I had a glitch the other day and I didn't even realise it was a glitch. I sent it to my mate and she was the one who, she saw it on somebody else's profile, because I'd gained like 1500 followers and I was like, what? And I'd gone over, like, I'm nearly at the 30k mark, so I'd gone over the 30k mark and I was like, nah, I would have noticed that, like, and haven't gotten a shout out or anything along those lines.
Yeah.
So I screenshotted it, I sent it to her and she was like, oh yeah, it's a glitch, it'll be back tomorrow. And then the next day I was like, oh, there I am. Back in the 20s.
Like, whoa, must be nice. I don't know. But yeah, I think they are going down, which I suppose is good as well. I mean, like, it's weird sometimes to know that there's really random, like, not even actual people. I know there's loads of people who probably follow, like, any of us and, like, don't even see our stuff anymore. But you know they're people. They might have followed from a video, they might have followed, come across from another
account.
Yeah, to think that someone's just created a random bot and then to go, I don't know, I find it weird.
Why, though? It's only for our gain. Like, how do they gain from that? Like, I'm not buying followers, so, like, what are they gaining?
Have you ever got a message from someone? I've gotten so many messages from, well, not so much anymore, but it comes in, like, periods, because at the moment I'm getting added into loads of different group chats from like a fake
account. Oh yeah, you can block that.
Ah, it's the only interaction I get with anyone.
That's a message, isn't it? Ah, something to do.
Yeah. I'm also in debt, but that's nothing. They're not the same. Different pain.
Sorry, just getting back to my followers.
And then, like, but at one stage, there was loads of people writing to me, being like, "Hi, your page, great, and obviously the English is completely broken. Loads of followers, come join me." And then one day, I just, you see them all the time, but there's a guy who did a TED talk. Who he followed through with a scam email, and it's really, really funny. If you look it up, it comes up straight away. But I decided to follow through without actually giving any details. And then he was like, "I'll give you 10,000. And I said, "I can't, my mother won't let me." And then his response was like, "You know, you need to do this for yourself. You can't let your mother hold your back." And I was like, "You're so right. Give me 2 days and you come back." And I was just, it was sad now that I think about it.
I think Joe Lycett did a comedy sketch on that before as well, because he loves doing it, and they're fucking hilarious. So it's really funny seeing. I have done it in the past, but I'm not consistent enough, because like they text you back at like 3 a.m. And then it's like, I'm busy, you know what I mean? I have to drop my kid to crash, I have to go to work, you know what I mean? Like, all this.
Do you text them like, "Hey, look, it's just not working out between me and you. You're texting me too late at night. Unfortunately, we're at different stages of our life, but best of luck in the future." You're like breaking up with a scam artist through Instagram.
Exactly, yeah. Carly, you've done it before. Somebody wanted to give you a blessing.
Yeah, they did. They wanted money, shockingly enough, but I went along with it. But I was actually about to say that I went along with it for a good while, and I was putting it up on my close friend's story.
Yeah.
Because you fucking wouldn't know who you'd be offending. Like, so I was like, you know, I've had mad shit before. I was like, I'm actually not getting into this. So I put the whole thing up, but it was one of those things where I was like doing it at night, and then the next morning I woke up and I was like, oh. Do I have to follow through with this?
Yeah.
Like, it's not funny to me anymore.
This was funny last night, and now I'm not arse.
This is gas crack when I'm sitting in bed now to actually get up and have a shower. Yeah. Like, I'm not really arse following this through. And so many people were like, "Please follow through." And I was like, "No, I'm not arse now. I'm done. I'm done. I've tapped out of this." But you know what else I've started doing? I've started blocking burner accounts.
Oh, have
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Any Finstas, I just started blocking them. I was like, there's no normal reason why you're here. Do you know, like, there's no sound reason why you're probably here.
I don't really give a fuck about them. Like, let them. I don't do that.
What do you mean, burner accounts? What would, like,
One, and it's like following 50, zero posts, no fucking profile photo, and it's like Mickey Madness is the name.
Oh, yeah.
Something along those lines. I've just noticed there's a few nowadays, and I'm just like, I'm just blocking that. Like, there's nothing good could come of that account, do you know? Because anytime I've gotten abuse, it's never been. Ever. Probably maybe once, actually, now that I think of it, been from somebody off their actual account.
I have a Finsta.
It's always off these fucking burner accounts.
Because I have a Finsta, but Finsta is like a separate Instagram that I have for like photos that I wouldn't put on my Instagram account, and I'm only following like 20, and it's only been...
No, that's not a Finsta. That's like your personal. So a Finsta is a fake Insta. You make it on purpose. I used to have a Katy Perry fan page, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, I, because we always say your Finsta is actually fake Insta. Yeah, I don't know why we call it a Finsta, but
it's
your Insta.
Well, there's photos on it like that I wouldn't want any, like, you know, it's not like personal photos. It's just more, this is really funny when someone had like, they're like, you know, whatever it is, I couldn't even think of an analogy. Finger up my bum.
No examples. Not one example could come to your brain.
Yeah.
No.
Finger up your bum or something like
but
that.
But you don't want people calling you out.
Well, like, and I said that because it's a photo of one of the lads, and that's what it looks like. He's not actually doing it, I don't think. I don't know.
He could be. I'm not entirely sure.
That's why I didn't.
Haven't inspected it.
I haven't.
Right, shall we get into this week's topic?
Yeah, 15 minutes talking shite, shall we get into the topic of the night?
And in fact, now I'm going to give us credit here. We never do that. I listen to a few podcasts where they talk about themselves for a good 20 minutes.
Every episode.
Before they get onto the topic.
Every single episode.
Every episode. And we are fairly all right at getting straight into it, so I'm going to give us a pass here.
Okay, Jen.
That's my unpopular opinion this week. It's not my unpopular opinion this week. I have one for the end.
No, that's not it.
With the jingle. But it's one of them, right? But this week, let me just do my hosting job here. This week, we have Podge on because we want to talk about toxic masculinity, and we wanted Podge on because he's a lovely fella. Because
I am so masculine and
I
love how no one you didn't entertain that joke then. You just flew straight over that.
What? Sorry, you went quiet. I can't hear you.
Is that your mic?
You're on mute.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Go on.
No, Pod, you are. I feel like you're a very fair, honest person, and you're a great listener. And even from listening to your podcast, you're really interested in other people. So I just feel like you would have a very fair point of view. And I would imagine, even though you were saying, like, in the podcast that we did with you, do you remember you were talking about your Carlingford's trip and that all of those people in your most embarrassed moment, they all seemed really nice. I would imagine you have come across in your lifetime a group of lads that you've probably noticed behaviours in them where you were like, that's not cool.
Definitely. Like, there's this thing we do for work, and it's like the Clift, it's called, very corporate of me, like Clifton Top Strengths. It's like these 32 strengths, and you do this a questionnaire kind of thing, and at the end it lists your strengths from top to bottom, and like the first one for me was empathy, which I would, I'd always kind of have quite be empathetic or like a high EQ. Unfortunately I'm an idiot, so my IQ isn't great. But anyways, yeah, no, I definitely have. I mean, like that story about the rocks for balls, the people who was with me in the very, like, we were paired up in groups of like five or six. They were rather, I guess, quiet people in the year, and they were very they kept to themselves. So that's why the outcome was, yeah, they were very nice. We're 100%. Like, I mean, I'm from rural Ireland, a school that's rooted in its footballing endeavours. Mm. So yeah, I definitely have. And like, sadly enough as well, when I was younger, at the age of 16, I'd say, and in secondary school, I definitely was at times probably, I guess, indulge in that kind of toxic masculinity without even realising it. And certainly, I think that's one of the beauties of social media in ways. It's like, there's words I might have used, maybe it could be derogatory or rude, without understanding the impact that they had. And that's the great thing I like about social media now, because we didn't have that when I was, I'm talking like second year or first year in secondary school. Now that while there's so many disadvantages to just young people having social media, you can really see the impact and I guess understand the meaning of what you say a lot more. But yeah, but definitely growing up, like, the toxic masculinity was very prominent when I was younger, and there's, it's shit, it's pointless.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you said there that you're like, oh, when I was younger I subscribed to some of those beliefs, haven't we all? How many times have you been like, man up? Like, that's something that I think comes into, like, that's a phrase that most people have in their vocabulary. And it's something that I, myself, over the past year, I'm like, don't say that. What are you going to say? What other phrase can you use? Because you know the way you're like, oh, man up. Like, come on. One of those kind of things. And it's just so obvious and it's so simple. But it's something that everybody kind of says. And you're like, okay, no, that's wrong. Stop that.
And even like you know, when, again, back to the whole like Irish rural thing. But the idea of using the word gay as a negative thing.
Oh yeah,
and not understanding the impact that might have on someone. And look, I'm not someone who's part of the LGBT community, so if from someone who, looking at the outside now, could be like, wow, that must have been tough. I can't imagine how much it would be for someone who was in my class, so we'd say, and someone might have thrown, oh, that's, you know, gay in a negative way, and how, you know, that would have on them. So I don't know, looking back on it, and I guess it annoys me, because like, you can't look, you know, you can only change who you are now, and obviously you understand what's right and wrong, but it's annoying looking back and saying that kind of culture led to like stupid things like that. Or as you said there, they're like, man up, or what are you crying for? I remember when I said I love you to my mom on the phone, and someone was like, I love your mom. And then, like, I didn't say it for, and I specifically remember, like, purposely not saying, like, oh, I love you. And it wasn't like, I love you. Like, you know, like, if someone said that, I'd be like, that sounded a bit weird.
That sounded like a category on Pornhub.
Yeah. Well, like, you know,
mom loving.
You know, you're like, all right, see you later, love you, and you hang up. Yeah. And I specifically remember when I was, I think it was like third year or something, and I didn't say it for ages. And the weird thing is, stuff like that, and I don't know if it's for everyone, I overthink things, so it could just be me, but that sort of filters through at home as well. So then even when it was just me and my mum and I was going to bed, I'd be like, all right, night, but I wouldn't say love you. And it's not something that's too big, but it's these things that, like, not only they filter through into different communities or different social situations, and I just have, like, a really bad impact.
It's funny that you said that, because I was actually strolling along on Twitter today, like, on my lunch break, shockingly enough, in between the porn, and this tweet came up. And it's exactly what you just said. It's by a guy called Jack Cooper. And it says, got mocked by some lads at work today for telling my mum I loved her at the end of our phone call. Proper small dick trying to be a man mentality that. Tell your close ones that you love them at every opportunity you get because one day you won't be able to.
Yeah.
But the amount of blokes in the comments who are like, happens to me all the time. All my mates always slag me like, oh, mammy, love you. Kiss, kiss. Oh, mammy, love you so much. And like all this. I'm like, what a fucking, what a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like surprising at all that it happens to so many people. You know, it's not at all. And like I would, I think it depends on the relationship, because I know that there's a lot of, not so much in terms of toxic masculinity, but like, you know, you might tease someone or you might take the piss out of someone, and that's very much often like someone's, I don't know, I won't say comedic value, it's satire comedy in ways, that's how some people would word it. And look, I understand that if it's one person to another person who are like best friends, and you can understand that what they're saying is not, for example, I went downstairs earlier on today and got some food. My best friend Ryan, who I live with, was like, geez, do you ever stop eating or something? But it's because we're such best friends that I know that was a complete joke, and there was nothing meant about that. But it's when you say it in like groups, or you say it to someone with like, I don't know, meaning behind it and the intentions, that's just where I think it's often, it's hard to stop as well, because you feel so not threatened, but yeah, threatened by saying it, because if you're calling it out, you just get attacked. Twitter is the perfect example, you know.
And it's funny because the amount of people in the comments that were like, and it was mostly women that were replying being like, what she feels when you say that far outweighs any slaggins that the lads could ever kind of give you. Because I suppose it is kind of one of those things. But I think it's funny because in Ireland, I feel like Irish mammies and their fucking precious sons. Do you know what I mean? So there's a bit of that as well. So I just didn't think that, like, I think over here, I thought it would just be a lot more stream. I didn't think it would be that bad. I just couldn't imagine other lads, because like, you know what fucking your ma's like, you're just like, I can't get away from you. Yeah, love you, yeah, fuck, yeah, off, yeah. Now off the phone, god bless.
Yeah,
you know, you can't get away from them. But I find that interesting that like, as much as I decided that it wasn't prevalent over here, I don't know why I decided that it wasn't. I think it was just because of that Irish mammy attachment to their sons kind of thing. But
and it's not,
yeah, it's little things, isn't it?
But it's not like you have to say it. It's not, you know, you have to say it, but it's, you should be, feel comfortable enough to say it without some repercussion from a group of people being like, oh, that shows weakness because you love someone who raised you and gave birth to you and put a roof under your head. Oh, what's wrong with you? Like, oh yeah, sorry, what a bitch. See ya. You know, like, you should feel comfortable enough.
By conscience.
Who was that? That was my ma.
Yeah, fucking idiot. Anyway, go on. Imagine on a date.
You should feel comfortable enough to express your emotions. And that's one of the biggest things with toxic masculinity is not, you know, it's as you said, Carla, that you have to be a man, or men are solely just for breadwinners and stuff like that, and the hunter-gatherer and all this crap, when now, you know, you should be allowed to express your emotions. It's a part of being human. It's a part of being an individual. It's a part of having your own consciousness and your own kind of morals. You should be allowed to cry when needs be.
Yeah. I do believe it's as well, because our generation seems to be, like, we've just moved on from the generation that was like, I'm trying to explain this in a way that makes sense without, yeah, well, you know, like, if you think about your grandparents, they were, and like your granddads or whatever, they were probably the blokes going around with belts, like whipping, you know what I mean? Like whipping the kids out of it if they did something wrong. Like, and then there's probably a generation in between that still kind of had that mentality, and now we're moving away from that. So it's still a fairly new thing to us. It's quite a foreign thing to see men expressing themselves, and like, I suppose they're like the fear of being called quote unquote soft, I suppose. And then even if you do go to call it out, you're then like put into that category. You're being like, you're like, oh, you're soft. Do you know what I mean? But it just, it shouldn't be like that. I mean, there's so many things. I don't have enough fingers to really count about the amount of things that should not be topics anymore. This is definitely one of them. Like, it shouldn't be this way anymore. But I do feel like our generation has its good things. Like, we grew up without, like, fucking social media and all. We were really lucky in that sense. But we're also in this kind of middle ground where old traditions are now harshly looked upon. And we're trying to move away from them, but it's just kind of hard to navigate.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying there is interesting, because I think people are like, I hate being like, I hate using woke as like a sarcastic thing, because what's wrong with being woke? Do you know what I mean? You're a bit more awake to things. Like, I don't really understand why that's gonna, it seems it's thrown around a lot of the times.
Yeah, it's too much.
It's like it's in that kind of way, but I think it is really interesting. Because there was something else that I was reading up on, and it was about the divine feminine. And I thought it was really interesting because, you know, there's lots of different parts to it. There's books on it, you know, you can buy bloody seminars, pay a lot of money for them. But what they were saying is that a lot of energy that we consume is masculine energy. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just like men should be actually consuming feminine energy as well. And that's why, like, if you think about music and if you think about these kind of themes where it's like, it's always about making money, hustling, working really hard, like, that's all quite masculine energy. And we kind of absorb it. And but without you kind of even realising, that's what you're constantly around. So it's really important as well to tap into feminine energy as much as, because if you think about, like, even the way that rap music is right now, like, you've got Meg Thee Stallion, you've got Cardi B, you've got kind of stuff like that. They're rapping about, like, female pleasure, they're rapping about sex, they're rapping about money, they're rapping about, like, kind of doing their own thing, which is all really good. But you also have to kind of go to the flip side and, like, you know, watch a movie that might make you feel really deeply emotionally or cry or something along those lines. I feel like women know to do that. But even so, we have to be reminded. Because when I was reading up on that the other day, I was like, Jesus. Because it's kind of like, we did breakups last week, Podge. It was a very funny episode. But me and Jen were kind of, we were going back and forth. Me and Jen have two totally different kind of ways that we cope with things. And I'm always quite blokey in the way that I see things and the way that I act. And then I'm like, why am I this way? And it's funny because it's kind of all those kind of different energies. And I feel like women, as I said, know to tap into those different things and know when they're kind of, they almost stop themselves and check themselves. Whereas with guys, it's like, forget that, you don't cry, fuck that, you don't do this, you don't do that.
But it's funny because I kind of am like that. Like, I'm very able, like, I love a good cry, and often, and I would cry, as in I'd forcefully make myself cry. This is probably nothing to do with the topic, this is just kind of me being weird, but like often I'd like come up with fake scenarios in my head that would make me really, really upset, and then I just cry.
That's anxiety.
But like, it's like I want to cry, I want to get it out, or like, it's like I'm acting, but
you should be a method actor.
I'm acting.
Yeah, I was about to say, fucking hell, where'd
like,
you go?
Some of the scenarios involves like my parents dying, and I don't think I'm going to be that much of a method actor that I'm like, listen, ma'am, listen, come over to me. It's the fear of judgment from other men. That I definitely, years ago, I've no problem saying that now, but I know years ago I wouldn't even think about mentioning it. And it's, I don't even know if it's, like, a lot of men might be able to tap into that femininity, but it's this, like, mob mentality of, if you do that, you aren't one of us, you aren't a man, you aren't, which is absolutely stupid. And I think that's where a lot of kind of the fear of, I guess, as you said there, kind of tapping into your femininity can come from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just find it,
and that's why I'm delighted that we have you on for this episode, because I do feel like you're not ashamed of, do you know what I mean? Like, there's not an ounce of toxic masculinity in your body, do you know what I mean? That you are a great ambassador for being against that. Whereas, like, I know, like, but it depends on the person as well, because, like, there's such an array of, like, I have best friends who'll have fellas and like they'll fucking put a face mask on and they'll let them pluck their eyebrows and they'll give a manicure and they'll have these little spa days in. If I even suggested that to Adam, he would tell, I know where he'd tell me to go. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it does depend on the person and the maturity stage and the age and the circumstances as well.
I definitely wouldn't say I'm like, not that I'm not a great ambassador, like, thank you, that's very nice of you to say, and I do,
But you are, though. You would be, because you're not, like, you have reached that maturity stage where, you know, it's not,
but there's still,
stupid to
there's
say.
There's still parts of that me that, like, maybe, like, there might be elements of, like, toxic masculinity sometimes that are still part of me. For example, if I'm, like, you know, on a night out, some of my mates might be, like, you know, throwing a few shapes at each other, and it's like, oh, I'm stronger than you, which is, like, it's still, you know, this idea of, oh, being stronger makes you the better person, or being the bigger, you know, I could beat you up means that I'm inherently better than you. And there's times where that might still, and I wouldn't say it comes out, like, I don't walk around town throwing shapes at people, but I kind of, I think it's just ensuring that I can understand that I'm doing it at that time, and then be like, okay, well, that's silly. And I think that's the kind of process for anyone to approach it, is to just try and identify it in moments that it's happening, and then understand why it's wrong to do it, and then for future reference, and then hopefully you kind of, I guess, wean yourself out of the, that mentality, and not just wean yourself out of doing the action, but wean yourself out of understanding, or wean yourself out of having that mentality of I'm bigger than you, or, and it's not, that's just a circumstance or an incident I'm kind of giving myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that you said that again, because if you look at, like, typical male qualities, right, and then typical, like, feminine qualities, right, so masculine qualities, feminine qualities, so you have here masculine, strong, controlled and focused, and then feminine, free flowing, open and radiant. I would say you're much more on the feminine side than you are on the masculine side.
What's the masculine again?
Masculine is strong, controlled and focused. I'm sure you are as well, but it's free flowing, open and radiant, because that's another thing, men aren't that open. You never really see them being as open as you are. You can be both, they're not opposites, it's just different energies that you tap into. Whereas I find, like, with you, just from doing the couple of sessions that we've done together, you are really free, you are quite flowing, you are quite open.
Oh yeah, like,
you're somebody that you can chat to so easily.
100% agree with you.
Yeah, and it's funny in that kind of way, because I think it's not about, and I think that's been the problem. We've kind of been sold this lie where it's like men versus women. You're on one side or you're on the other side. But that's what, I think that's what the divine feminine was all about and is all about. It's about, like, making sure that you are tapping into different kind of energies consistently. You can be both. You can be focused, you can be free, you can be controlling, you can be open, all that other kind of stuff. But it's about making sure that there is a balance, so that you don't kind of lose parts of yourself, and so that you're also tapping in and having more of a balance in your emotions. And it's also really good for communication if you're having issues, like communication in relationships or anything along those lines as well. It doesn't just have to be like a romantic relationship, it can be like family, friends, anything along those lines.
Yes,
so there you go. So there you go. Anyway.
good,
yeah,
good.
See you later. I gotta go do the gym and fight some lads outside.
But I was like, no, I'm not a woman, I'm not.
No, but I'm very much like, I would be much more in terms of open, and I guess I'm very, and I always have been quite emotional. Sometimes it's actually not great. Like, I can definitely lead, which I just leave my heart as opposed to my head. And I can often be very hyper-emotional. So, you know, if I get upset, I get quite upset. Like, I get very, very happy, or I might get, like, really pissed off. And it's not great, but I'm very much, I guess, I don't know if I'm very proud, but I'm very, I find no shame in saying that I'm an emotional person, if that makes sense. Now, often it's not great. I need to control it, because sometimes I do stupid things because of my emotions. But I've no shame in saying that I'm an emotional person. I'm no shame in saying that I'm upset. Whereas a lot of people would. But you're right, Jen. I think, like, there is a generational thing, and it's very much, we're changing that attitude. It's just not fully there yet.
It's not, and, like, it goes with so many, like, things that we've talked about in the past. Because, I mean, you're also coming out of that generation where it was, you know, the men went out to work and the women stayed at home. I actually had this conversation with my nephew this morning, because he saw, you know, the single-decker buses, Dublin buses.
Oh, my God, the imps.
And no, not an imp. Like, it's a Dublin bus, but it's a single-decker.
What?
Yeah, like,
that's an imp.
It's not. It's a Dublin bus. It's just only got one story in it. Okay, is that just the 220 going from Ladyswell to Ballymun? Anyway, there is that thing. Look it up. It's a thing. It's not an imp. It's not a city imp. Like,
wait, what's a city imp?
But, oh, look up a city imp. You'll know what a city. Oh, you're a rural lad. You mightn't have been around.
Where are you from, actually?
Carlo.
Sorry, I was on mute there, because I was like, I'm not from Carlo. I'm from Offaly.
Offaly, sorry, Offaly.
Carlo.
Jen's like, he's from Carlo, you absolute idiot. No, not.
Those, oh, I do. Oh, we do, actually, we do have one in the Midlands. I'll tell you.
Okay, flat out, okay.
That, is that an imp?
Yeah, we've an imp.
Oh, yeah, well, obviously it's an imp, it's not a Dublin bus because you're in Offaly. Anyway, so there was a single-decker Dublin bus. They're yellow and blue, like they're the same thing, they just don't have a top floor. And my nephew was asking me about it today, he's only 11. And he was like, there's loads of those little buses going around. Like, what's the, like, why, like, he just couldn't understand it. And I was like, okay, so one, because of COVID, because you can't get that many people on a bus anymore. I says, and two, they were an awful lot more prevalent because back in the day, you would only have men going out to work, so there wouldn't be that much need for transport. So the buses were only, like, small. There wasn't that much traffic on the roads because it was only men going to work usually. Like, you're talking about back in the day. But we're still coming out of that generation. Like, my mum and dad are that generation.
Mm.
You know, yeah. The mum stayed home. The dad, like, so that's my mum and dad. So we're only coming out of that. And it's so, because I could relate this back to, we are in a generation where stuff is happening that we're going through the transition of it, whereas the next generation probably won't know any different. Like, because we were talking about it in an episode about racism in Ireland before. And I was saying, like, if you went to London and you saw a 55-year-old black man with a London accent, you would not bat an eyelid. If you were in Dublin and you saw a 55-year-old black man with a Dublin accent, you'd look twice. Because immigration's still so new here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like we are in a generation, and it's in this country in particular, I feel, because like we're so fucking behind, but like we're just in this generation where it's like everything is changing and you kind of have to keep up and we kind of have to keep checking in and letting everybody know what's all right and what's, you know, it's not that bad. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know. I got you. Like,
and everything is, there's a lot of shit that's still so taboo, like mental health, talking about mental health out loud. That's still a taboo subject, you know. People are still terrified of coming out as gay. Like, you know, it's just, we're in such a weird generation. And I'd love to be, like, a fly on the wall even in a generation, like, two or three from now, where all of this is normalised.
I wonder, will it be, though? That's the only thing, because, like, you know, I always think that, okay, way more progressive than we'd say my mum and dad's, or certainly granny's era, which kind of they come from that, I guess, you know, the Irish, deeply rooted in Irish Catholicism, and I guess, you know, no going against the status quo, as you mentioned there, the thought of being gay or in any way really different is completely outcasted. But then, like, you hear stories or you see people that's still the mentality there. It's just that I'm sort of often in my own echo chamber that I think that, wow, this country's so progressive. And in ways we are, don't get me wrong, like, Jesus Christ. Mm. Did you ever see Tommy Tiernan in the Late Late Show? And he's like, you know, years ago it was illegal to be left-handed. And now, you know, we just repealed the Eighth Amendment. It was just after the Eighth Amendment. In ways, yeah, we are very progressive, but there's still definitely a lot of
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. There are places that are so, like, there's places that are just now banning same-sex marriage, like the Ukraine did, and then Arkansas just brought in it being illegal to have an abortion.
But even in Ireland, now, like, in Ireland, know? There's still a lot of those, not those, but a lot of, I guess, toxic masculinity cultures or I guess, kind of topics that come with it, or not necessarily doesn't necessarily have to be toxic masculinity, but just, you know, homophobia, misogyny, xenophobia, whatever it is, that still are alive and quite well today in certain parts. It's just that in the echo chamber that I kind of hang around with, or like look at social media, I don't see it. And while we've come a long way, there's still so much more to be done, and I like it, often it takes there's so much more to be done, and there's, that's it, just like, you don't really see it, just because I'm surrounding myself with other people who kind of have the same values or views as me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a long winded answer, but I got there eventually.
You did great, Podge. We are going to go to a break, and Carla had put up asking you your opinions, our experiences on toxic masculinity. Toxic masculinity. So we will be back with those after the break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Right, we're back. We have responses. Carla, what was the exact wording that you put up on the Instagram?
So the exact wording and like the breakdown of toxic masculinity refers to traditional cultural masculine norms that can be harmful to men, women and society overall. The concept of toxic masculinity does not condemn men or male attributes, but rather emphasizes the harmful effects on society.
Okay. And when you asked our listeners, what was, where are you looking for experiences?
I asked for question, comments, concerns.
Okay, question, comments and concerns. I have
and one. We got a nice batch of them.
I'm going to go through the box. So this one, I want your reactions, right? This one here says, I work in a male-dominated job, currently pregnant. All laughed about me going on holidays.
Oh.
God.
Like.
Yeah. That's like, still there. There is a little. I don't. We're not. There is a bit of that, isn't there? Well, I don't know. I've never fucking been on mat leave.
When I was on mat leave,
I could tell you.
Tell us, Bosh, last time you had a baby.
I can tell you now that it is definitely not a holiday. Fuck me, it is not a holiday. Neither is being a home mother or a stay at home father. It is fucking so stressful. Like, going to work is the break. Do you know?
Yeah.
I think for that, like, I mean, it's straight away when you say it, it's easy to, for anyone to listen and be like, that is wrong. And I think the when it comes to, like, it needs to be called out. It does need to be called out, because that's the only way people learn, is by calling it out and not letting people away with it. But I just think it's so easy to say, you should call that out. But when you're in the social circumstance, it's much more difficult. And again, it's another kind of consequence of toxic masculinity, is when you call it out, often the repercussions are even worse.
That's what I was about to say. Like, if she did call that out, she'd probably, like, the minute she leaves work, if it's a male-dominated place that are already having a laugh about her going on holidays, it'd be like, oh, she must have her fucking period. Kicking off. Do you know, like, yeah, this one kicking off. Yeah, you know, not that she'd have her period because she's pregnant, but it'd be along the lines of that. Do you know what I mean? That kind of, oh, her hormones must be at her. That kind of thing. So, yeah, I know what you mean. It's nearly like...
It's tough to... Like, it's the same. And it's a topic that I don't think I'm in any way suited or know enough about. But certainly in recent, like, months or weeks, often, and I think Twitter, which is awful for it, but Twitter is such a toxic place in itself. Mm. But people who are coming forth I need to word this properly, so you might need to mark this, because I could fuck this up.
Yeah.
But, you know, people who are coming out with their stories of survivors of sexual assault, and it's so, like, that's where you'll see such toxic masculinity. That is where you'll see the root of it. And even kind of an example I know of is, trying to say leave it as obscure as possible, to not obviously give names or people involved, but, you know, when people were sharing stuff on their story, and I know someone who was a male who was sharing stuff on a story, and then his group chat, it was like, oh, didn't know you were a feminist, huh? And that's the very reason as to why that was being shared, the very reason as to why people were coming out with their stories, is, you know, to try and help encourage other women and you know, make society a much better place. But it's that's where the you see it most, is in those instances of people coming forward with their surviving stories of toxic masculinity. Oh, that wasn't it. Oh, you're asking for it. And all this shite stuff. And it's just so, it makes it so discouraging, and it makes it so, I guess, scary to come forward for anything. And that's, you know, she's the girl there, and she says she's pregnant. I can't imagine how it must be going to a group of lads being like, stop, that's like, you know, do you know how difficult it is to have a child and what the next months are to come? Because as you said there, Jen, it'll just be like, ah, ha, she's just hormonal again.
Well, I do have experience of being in work and having a complaint about a pain that I was having. And I was kind of like, because I've always worked in medical settings, and like my boss was a man, and I'm not like, it wasn't the worst ever case of anything, but I said it to him and he's like, are we doing that for how long to have that? As if to say, like,
are you making that up?
It just kind of like discrediting, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When there's absolutely no way on this earth ever he is going to experience this. So like, the audacity, do you know, it was just like, I was like, really? Did you not think before that came out of your mouth? Like, you know what I mean? So yeah. I was like, oh, okay, that was a bit, fuck. I had to start taking notes then.
Yeah.
Just to go down the line, you know.
I think it was interesting as well what you said there, Bodge, about, you know, somebody sharing something on their story and then lads being like, oh, didn't realise you're a feminist, because that is just why we are where we are. Like, I've never seen, when it's a men's mental health issue, a men's anything issue, women, they go, they flock, they get behind it. And I do think things would change, and they change a lot quicker if men had the same response to women's issues. Well, quote unquote women's issues, it's not even women's issues half the time, it's just fucking issues. Do you know what I mean? Like, if someone's getting raped, that's everyone's issue, that's not a woman's issue. But I think that it's interesting, because I've even noticed in, you know, a lot of different, like, there's a lot of different circles, but sometimes you can kind of get, like, you'll post something that isn't, like, it's progressive, but not even that progressive. It's, like, about something, and then it's like, oh, off she goes again, you know, mad feminist gets mad ideas, radicalised, that one is. You're like, if only you cared.
And often the outcome to that was when they were like, oh, I didn't know you were a feminist. It was like, well, the purpose I shared on my story was to just at least start the conversation. Or I think they were like, oh, so what was the point of that? What good did that do? And ironically enough, it started the conversation within the chat. Like, that's what it did. And, you know, obviously, just a little bit misogynistic in ways, and kind of talking about the importance of believing survivors, and statistics and facts around it. And look, there was a positive outcome in that specific story alone, but it's, you know, that's, you're just raising awareness, or you're just trying to show support, and in doing that, you are then, I don't know, you're, the mob comes at you, or you're tarnished because, oh, look at you trying to, or even the idea of, oh, look at you, you're just doing it to be seen to be doing it.
Yeah, there's that too, which, you're just, don't even know what you're even sharing, you're just sharing it because it's such a bandwagoner, and you're like, if only you, again, gave a fuck. Like, if only you could just give a tiny bit of the energy that you give to all this other bollocks to actually understanding and being a little bit more progressive. I'm not asking for much here.
And, like, the best way to, like, I guess, to approach toxic masculinity is just, like, talk about it. You know, have an open and an honest conversation with the people who are, you know, who showcase that toxic masculinity, and ensuring that, and, like, the worst thing is when you're approaching anything like this, you are always going to have to be the person who comes calm, cool, and collective. And even though the person you're approaching is always going to be the one who has the worst views, or the worst, or, you know, they have that attitude or that mentality which is so harming or so destructive, but you still have to be the one that comes calm and just have your argument prepared, or understand, you know, so this is why what you said does this, this is why doing that will help, whatever, you know, there's so many different kind of routes to go down for toxic masculinity, but I think it's almost sad that you have to always be the one, when you're trying to do the better thing, that has to be the calmer person, or can't in any way get over emotional, because, you know, as we know, when you have an argument with someone and you both come emotional, it's just complete, it's not coherent. So you have to be the one who's calm And it's kind of shit because at the end of the day, you're putting even more effort in for someone who just can't wrap their head around simple concepts.
It's like talking to an unreasonable wall, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like it's and you're trying your best to like raise awareness or whatever it may be. And it just feels like a waste of time. Sometimes these people just need to get another few years on them before they'll even kind of cop what you said a few years back. Like, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Very true. I have a DM here. They said, this is such an interesting topic to cover. Thanks. That's why we're doing it. Not an experience, more of an opinion. I saw a TikTok recently about a research study that took place a few years ago on the impact a man's gauge of their testosterone level can impact their mantra and their character. They told a select few men that their testosterone was lower than the average and an equivalent group that it was higher than the average. Neither were told the truth, though. The group with the supposed lower levels were more inclined to enforce rigid gender roles, expect their wives and women in general to do the majority of the housework and childcare, and show disdain toward the feminist movement, etc. The other group showed the exact opposite. Even though it was only a study of select few men, I think it's really interesting to approach the concept of toxic masculinity with this in mind and wonder if it's actually a subconscious thing that men fall susceptible to in order to prove that they haven't failed at being an adequate man.
Well, it's like, is that not often what you see, certainly when it comes to like sex or...
Oh, yeah.
Or sport. Okay, sex is the first one that comes to mind.
Sex and sports.
Yeah, but I don't know why I said sports, but the idea of being, you know, considered an inadequate man because, you know, you mightn't have gotten up or gotten it up, yeah, or something like that. So you come out being hyper aggressive because that's your only way of showing your manliness, or the testosterone levels are high, which is funny because like Ireland has such a like still has such a taboo around sex. And you'd never talk about it if you never like worked on a night out, which for any guys listening, it's natural. It is natural to not always fucking be ready to go. But yet there's this mentality that I have to, I'm a man, I always have to be ready. I have to be fucking, if she says go, I'm up and at it. And then if it doesn't work, you're coming out of there feeling less of a person, which is not the case. And again, everything like this is just down to just having a conversation. I tell you, like, if you're having sex with somebody, they turn around and go, I'm actually just not, for some reason, working tonight. They'd be like, grand. Like, it's not that big a thing.
But I mean, you also have to be, you're up against, like, you'll always see that scene in a movie as well.
Yeah, it's the media that perpetuates a lot of this stuff.
Oh, yeah, completely.
You know?
Do you know?
And I think it's funny that you said, because... You know, like big dick energy. Like we all talk about BDE, we all talk about big dick energy. And I feel like it's funny because big dick energy isn't about having a big dick. It's about having the energy of having a big dick. It's about like being understanding, having confidence, but not being cocky, being really like accepting, being really like, there is nothing more attractive. And that's what cracks me up, especially with this kind of like gender role thing. There is nothing sexier to a woman than a man who is happy to do whatever and to be whatever and to kind of play into their feminine side. Because you're just like there's nothing sexier than like when you see a guy who's good with kids or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. I don't even fucking like kids. But if I see a bloke who's good with kids, I'm like, well,
just hope they're not his. He's coming back with me. Hope they're not his.
I'm pregnant. And then I was pregnant.
But, and then it's the same with like, I'm like, oh, that man had mad small dick energy. Do you know? And it's the same. It's like aggression. It's the same with like short man syndrome, a lot of people say too. Like, even if they're tall, it's like total short man syndrome because it is that kind of like, it's like they've something, it's insecurity, and that's what it boils down to. There's just fucking nothing worse.
And you're like, when you say it there, like, and the media does perpetuate so much, and like, has sort of, that's where so much of it stemmed from, the idea of, you know, the male gaze or gender normals, or, you know, the man is, or even in like films, like you look at action films in the 90s, particularly. And it's always the male saves the female at the end of the day, and the man's the man, and the woman's the woman, and it's, and then that's where so much of it stemmed from. And thankfully now that's changing a good bit. Like, there's much more kind of female power roles out there. In terms of, like, I'm just talking about films that I mentioned there a minute ago. But it's still, there's still nowhere near what, you know, it being completely abolished in any way, shape or form.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
we'll move on to the next one so we don't stay. We're there like 20 minutes topic, one thing.
See, the funny thing is, though, with this entire topic as a whole, toxic masculinity, like, there's so many different, I guess, tangents from it. Like, you know, homophobia could be, you could talk so much about toxic masculinity from that. I don't know, the xenophobia of other people from different countries, or I'm thinking of all the phobias, misogyny, stuff like that. Like, these are all rooted in toxic masculinity, so it's such a broad term that could, so much can fall under the cover of it.
You're absolutely right, Podge. Are you free for the next 7 weeks?
Yeah.
So we can go through each subgenre of this category and really milk the cow.
And this time they'll be on YouTube, all right, Carla? Jesus.
Great, can't wait. I'll wear my
and
makeup.
We will, none of us will have makeup on. None
Or working mics. It'll just be us
talking into the abyss.
Okay, I have one here in the box. It's a three-parter, and it says, I was building a house, and the guy at the tile shop insisted I didn't know the measurements of my own house that I was building, and asked if there was a man I could check up with, and I had the house plans in my hand at the time. What an absolute prick.
Oh, my God. Fucking hell, that's, like, you know, that's complete toxic masculinity, but, like, The fact that she had the plans in her hand as well, I find that phenomenal. Like, no, they're right here. But, like, you know, is there a man?
I think that's, I think that's more mansplaining than it is anything else. Yeah. It's like, are you sure, Petal? Are you sure? You're like,
yeah. That's a whole other thing, mansplaining, I think, yeah.
But it's also that's what toxic masculinity, again, falls under the toxic masculinity, topic. In one of those tangents is that, like, you know, it's complete conforming to gender roles of, you're not a man, you wouldn't know what this is because, you know, builder hats and we eat breakfast rolls at lunch, so come on now, get it right. Which I can't believe that is actually a real story. And this goes back to perma-perm, like, as I said earlier on, I'm in my echo chamber and I don't think these things happen, but they actually do. It's just that I'm not aware enough to them, and all my social medias, the algorithms are curated to this progressive, you know, posts or people who I follow that I see. But I don't actually see the real day struggles that some people still go through, and so many people as well.
Yeah, I actually, there's a film out, and it's an Irish film, and it's only recently, but it's about this girl who was in a relationship, and it was a domestic violence situation, and she's building her own house out. This girl, she cleans for this lady, and this lady offers her a plot of land out her back garden because it's gone through the house crisis as well. So she's building her own house, but like that, she goes to the builders providers, and it's the exact same situation as this. She's at the counter, and this is in a film, and he's like, "Honey, you don't know what you're asking for." Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't. You know what I mean? Come back when you know what you're talking about. Yeah, that kind of thing. And it's just like, it's rampant, like.
Yeah, we can get derailed so quickly, can't you?
Yeah, that's it.
I have one here. I see where this has gone. I work in childcare, and too many times I've seen dads putting their own toxic masculinity on their sons. There was one time when we had a 4-year-old boy who loved dressing up in princess dresses, and one day his dad came to collect him early and saw him in the dress and proceeded to shout in front of all of the staff and children, "Get that fucking dress off my son." The manager took him to the office and gave out to him for shouting and using bad language in front of the staff and the children. She then asked him if she should stop the girls from playing with cars and Lego because they're seen as, quote-unquote, boys' toys. He was like, "Oh, no." And she said, "Exactly. So I'll let your son and the other boys dress up if they want to." There was obviously words said at home, though, because he never dressed up in any of the dresses again.
Oh, no.
That's so sad.
But that's like, this is what I mean. Like, when they're young, they just don't have any of that. No. Do you know? They don't have any of that kind of, like, and that's why it pisses me off a lot when it's like, "Is that your girlfriend?" I'm like, like, it's cute and all. But why are we doing it? It's fucking weird. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine you going to Bobby playing with the kid across the road and you being like, "Is that your girlfriend?"
Yeah.
You'd just be like, "That's your friend. We're not going to do this fucking weird shit."
There's your best, though. Yeah.
Do you know what I actually, that's a funny story. I used to wear dresses till I was like 3 or 4, I think it was. And I was made get out of them. To my mom's credit, not because I was a boy in a female dress because I was ripping my sister's dresses. So I had to get ones that fit me, but I only wanted the ones that Tori had. Oh. And then one day, and I actually remember, this, Mum was like, okay, get out of the dress, because I really want to. So we had a handyman called Tommy, who goes around, like, he still works in the house, he does, like, handyman. And he's a friend of the family, so he just does any, like, bits that, that, you know, he's there, thankfully. And he was over in the house one day, and I think he was doing work in some other person's house, and I was like, can I go with you? And Mum was like, only if you take off that dress, because she didn't want me ripping my sister's one. So she gave me a bigger one. So off I went to help a man do some carpentry in a dress.
I love that.
I love your mum. I love Tommy. I love the whole thing. How fabulous. Yeah. How normal.
I'm not a handyman, so I wasn't much help. I just probably stood there in the dress.
You were just kind of banging around in the dress.
Yeah, hoping for like a... Which again in itself is fucking toxic masculinity. Which in itself is exactly the issue we're talking about.
You were just standing there to look pretty.
Yeah.
Now my nephews always had buggies, you know, like little buggies.
Yeah,
play buggies. You know, the way that like kids play mammies and daddies or whatever, and they always had these little buggies. My nephews always had them, and my other nephew, for his second birthday, I got him a Peppa Pig pink kitchen, and he lost his shit. And it was just like, that's what he wants, that's what he's getting. He loves pink, that's fine. It's absolutely, you know what I mean? Like, we were always kind of like that growing up as well. But you would get remarks from other people. It's like, that, why has he got a buggy? Get him a trolley or get him a little tractor or, you know what I mean?
It's and like, that's it. Like, and you don't need to, like, it's not a case of where you have to, certainly with young kids, you have to force them to play with other toys. Like, you wouldn't have to, if they want to, they shouldn't be discouraged. And that's the kind of important thing. They should be able to express themselves in whatever way they see fit. And fair enough, if that's some kid who might really like carpentry and wants Bob the Builder toys all the time, fine, get it for him. But if he wants Barbie at any point, get him that too. You don't have to force it. They should be allowed to express themselves and understand that, you know, you shouldn't conform to a particular gender if you don't want, or particular gender norms if you don't want to. And you know, that's where a lot of it kind of stems from. That's where a lot of it stems from, is the word I was going to say.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Totally gotcha.
I have one here. My father-in-law doesn't understand why I get my hands dirty and do things like woodworking, building things, or landscaping my garden on my own. I should let my husband do it. I'm just a girl. I'm a woman, actually. And I could get hurt. I've been a massage therapist for years, and I'm a strong woman. I was about to say, them bitches, fucking hell. Have you ever got a proper massage? They kill you. Like,
they do.
Strong. Stronger than one of his sons, but no, girls shouldn't do that. Also, this whole thing about men and emotions, I find nothing more appealing than a man being able to communicate his feelings, even if it's feminine, with me. The lads I grew up with only knew how to feel anger, annoyance, or lust. Heaven forbid that they ever felt or were able to express sadness, empathy, love, or even happiness. They'd get called a pussy for it. Another word that I have an issue with.
Yeah,
I feel like that's like every fucking lad that most people grow up with.
There was always
that kind of, like, and they always wanted to be like the quote-unquote alpha or the quote-unquote leader of the group, and I'm like, no, you're just the fucking annoying one. Like, you're the insecure one, therefore you are the louder one, therefore here we are.
But it's not to stereotype either, but I also found that, like, they were probably the bigger ones as well, or the ones that do come across, because, you know, it's that the strength and, you know, speak out and I'll beat you up, which makes, the funny thing is, beating someone up in no way, shape or form proves that you're a better person. Fair enough, if it was like, you know, 5000 BC and we were looking to kill deer with your bare hands, then maybe, but, like, you know, we don't. I can just go down to the shop and buy some deer. Can you buy a deer? I don't really know. But the fact is, it makes no difference in terms of your self-worth as a person if you're much stronger than anyone else. But it's because you I guess. And also the fear of being beat up off also kind of is great.
Yeah, no, I mean, I doubt it. But I think I was watching, it's on Netflix at the moment, and it's about consent, and it's about spring break. It's called... fuck is the name of it? I'll figure out the name of it in a bit, and Jen will pop it into the description box. But it's about it's about Americans on spring break, but they do follow this particular group of English lads around. And, you know, like, spring break in America, as it looks like looks and watches exactly like you'd expect Spring Break to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Drunk teenagers, all having sex, all like mad stuff going on all the time, major amount of partying, major amount of drinking, major amount of drugs, all that other kind of stuff. But these English lads, you know, there was one and he was, you know, the typical Jack the Lad, and they were like, oh, he pulls so many birds, and like they do this scene where he like, they're interviewing, they love the camera crew being around them, and then there's like this girl who walks out of their hotel room, so he floats over, he's like, what's your name? They start chatting, don't know how it happens, but like within 20 minutes he had taken her inside, had sex with her, and then came back out to the lads. So like within 20 minutes of meeting her, whatever else like that, and they're all like, oh yeah, fucking you're the man, like you're so cool, whatever. But later on that evening, there's like two of them that aren't the like main ones in the group. And they're like having a conversation about like consent and sex and how it was like growing up and their first kiss and when they lost their virginity. And one of them was like, you know, I lost my virginity at 19. And like you could tell that they were, there was a girl with them. And it was almost like the girl had centered them to be able to have this conversation before earlier on. It was like, yeah, fucking lads, lads, lads. And then like, later on they're having this conversation and the girl's there and she's like talking about like when she lost her virginity and, you know, like how tough it is sometimes to, you know, a lot of girls see it as just hookup culture and then you're trying to have a proper relationship, all this other kind of stuff. But one of the guys was like, he was like, yeah, they're having a really good conversation. He was like, yeah, like, I mean, I didn't have sex until I was 19. And even though his friend had just admitted that they all had a bet on in his friend group, he was like, what age were you? I was like, this is it. And you could just kind of see him shut down a little bit. Because I was like, I'd say he was like, I thought we were having, it was like, he almost was like, oh, I thought we were there, but we weren't there. And it was so sad. Even though his friend had just like gone on about how fucked up it was that like him and all his mates had a bet as to who could lose at first. And if you were the last, he was like, nobody wanted to be the last. I was the second last. So like the pressure was on, but like, I just didn't want to be the last guy. Fuck that. And it was like, even though he had just admitted that and had that conversation, his friend turns around and says that he was 19, first time having sex, and he's like, oh, what age were you? I was like, oh, fucking hell.
I think,
yeah,
one of the biggest,
just like, pointless.
One of the biggest, I guess, examples of toxic masculinity, in definitely in Ireland, is the whole image-based sexual abuse that Twitter months ago, that's still going on in the whole, I think, that the catalyst to the big movement was the Discord chat, where there was this chat on Discord, which I believe is like a, it's like a community Reddit type thing, which you can upload files and shit like that, I think. And there was just people on it, and there was a chat that had thousands, I mean thousands, I think it was like in the tens of thousands of pictures. Yeah.
I think it was over 50,000.
Yeah, some. I don't want to get the information wrong for this, but like it was so many, and it was in such detail of like location, county, age and stuff, and it was just so, so gross. And you think back to secondary school days in second year or third year, even higher up, and you know, people are like, oh yeah, I got a nude for last night or whatever it is, and to accept that at the time is horrendous, and it's because it's this like, oh, you're a man because you got a nude off someone else, and the idea of, and not only that, like people send nudes and that's fine, like if that's how you communicate love, say if you're in a long distance relationship, completely fine, but the idea of the man sending one back, and this is just like examples of when you're that young, is no, not a chance, but you'll send me one because I'm the man, and the male gaze,
and this is what you do,
and this is what you do, which is like fucking stupid. So the concept of that is stupid, and then the repercussions, which is the, and I know from like people who were sharing it or who were very much one of the leaders of that kind of movement, and the complete like hate and the horrible things that were said to them was, you wouldn't even repeat it, do you know what I mean?
I know, it was so fucked up, and it was like, it was even, I remember trying to have this kind of debate and some people were like, well, they shouldn't send nudes. I was like, okay, let's just pretend that they didn't send the fucking nudes, okay? Let's pretend in your perfect world that for some reason that's a reason why they should be violated because they sent it. What about the ones that they didn't take? What about the ones that were taken in locker rooms or ones that were taken without the women knowing? Like, not that we should ever have to segregate it because it's fucked up either way.
Mm.
But like, do you have any, and it was like, it was almost like all the fucking castles had to fall down on top of each other. And that was funny. Sorry, I looked up the name. It's called Liberated on Netflix. It's a bit samey, but it's grand. But I even when I was watching it, I was watching it with Tom, and I was like, it's not about the fact that he just went in, had sex with that girl after 20 minutes. She consented. She was happy to do it. She wanted to hook up as much as he wanted to hook up, clearly. Like, you can see that they're enjoying each other's company and whatever else like that. Like, that's fine. It's the fact that when she walked away, they're all like, slag, oh, fucking yeah, whatever. And I'm like, oh, man, like, if you had just been like, oh, cool, did you get your end away? Super. Like, move on.
And it shouldn't be, and the, like, the, I guess the... The mentality shouldn't be that, oh, they shouldn't have sent the nudes, or you, oh, that you're such a lesser man because you had sex at 19, or even like what's her name, Sarah Edwards or Edwards, yeah, the girl in London, and then you know the such a massive
Everett,
and you know it's the like you'd see oh. She shouldn't be out that late, or she shouldn't be going on a walk, and these types of sentences, as if to blame the victim in any circumstance, is just like, that's the fucking mentality that you shouldn't have, and this isn't this it should be the blame should be put on the perpetrator, is the perp word?
Absolutely.
Yeah. As opposed to or even like, do you know when that, and this isn't like when so many movements. With Repeal the Eighth was one that stand out in particular, and then of course with Sarah Evergarden, there was like videos like, oh, she was someone's daughter, or she was someone's sister, or no, she was a person, and that's all it should be.
Yeah,
she was a person.
It's like I saw that as well, and it's like that. This is the problem. It's like when you can't justify when you have to justify femicide by being like. Relationship to a man, you know that the culture is fucked. It shouldn't be about the fact that she was your daughter, sister, cousin, brother, whatever else like that.
It shouldn't have to be mansplained like that.
No, it shouldn't have to be like, why can't you think of it this way? We have to change the way that you think of it for somebody to think like a normal fucking human being. And I think, like, you touched on some really, like, important things there that... Mm. All of this, all this toxic masculinity stuff all kind of boils down to being an issue with society.
Yeah.
And perpetuating this kind of really complicated, really harsh, really aggressive and really negative kind of trope all over society. And unless, you know, unfortunately, unless a lot more men recognise their privilege and recognise what they're doing, nothing's going to change.
No. And it was quite scary around that time with Sarah Everard as well, that not all men was trending more than Sarah Everard.
Oh, yeah.
But this, like, this is exactly it. It's like when you have to kind of hop down someone's throat, I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, I know. It's
like, what is actually wrong with you? Like, what have you done in your past? Yeah. It just makes me give someone, like, that side eye. I'm just kind of like, what did you do for you to feel so personally attacked by that? It's like when somebody subtweets you and you get annoyed about it. I'm like, your only reason you're annoyed about it is because you think it's about you and because you display some of those things.
Yeah. This has been quite a heavy topic, and I think we covered quite a lot. We did get asked in the comments, could we do toxic femininity?
Yeah, I think that'd be really
I do think that'd be a good idea as well, because I mean, fuck knows, I've experienced it. But so I suppose we will say thank you very much to Pod, and shall we go to our unpopular opinion of the week? Popular opinion of the week is that GHD curls are gack.
Completely agree. Really? Completely agree.
Sorry,
do you think these luscious locks would work?
Your hair's coming along great.
It is. I really like
this isn't a visual thing. I need to take a picture of this fantastic. For the grid. But it is. It's coming along great.
Thank you.
What's the goal for the hair?
I don't know. I'm thinking hoser vibes. I don't know. I actually don't
know. I love it. Same length all round.
You were brushing it loads earlier, and
there was knots. That's the only thing that's annoying is that, like, I do, or like every now and then in bed, like, you know, it might tickle my ear. I'm like, I'm trying to sleep here, stop. But I don't know, I'm going to just let it grow, because I do want, I want to, like, I like this length, but I like it even out a bit. So I'm going to let it grow, and then when I can go to a barber in about 4 years' time, whenever they open, I'm going to then see when I, what I'm going to do.
Just see what the barber thinks.
Yeah, see what the barber thinks. I don't know. Yeah. There's because a lot of barbers who I know, and like from my hometown, it's all the fades. So I don't want to go in and be like, so do whatever you want, and then come out of there.
Bit of toxic masculinity there, is it?
Very.
It's let everywhere. Him have locks. He deserves
okay,
it.
Okay, sorry, I interrupted your GHD.
No, what you're is? Okay. No, so I just feel like, so there's one salon in particular that I follow on Instagram, and they will not do any other type of coral other than a GHD, and they're obviously rehashing all this old footage because nowhere's open. But you can see when it's a GHD coral, and there's lines in the hair.
Yeah, so you have to be careful with the L plates and the way that you grip. You do have to be careful. Now, a hairdresser shouldn't be doing anything that leaves plates in the hair. So that's a just to let you know, Podge, for when you're getting
but
your GHD.
Just in
you
general,
just don't ask for that.
I feel like the ringlet type of coral, the GHD type of coral, has aged badly.
Oh yeah,
and this particular maybe it's just this particular salon, and I can't name them because like that's just mean. But maybe it's just them that fucks me off. But like all of the corals are going in the same direction. Like there's no away from the face, and then they meet in the middle. They're all in the same direction. I'm like, what are you? How are you sloping?
So is this a GHD, like the brand GHD curler?
It's a straightener, but you can do corals with it. Okay. But that's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be, because when you put it in, it's like, you know, a scissors through a ribbon when you're trying to curl a ribbon.
I do.
That's the kind of way that they do
well,
it.
Can't
but
be good
it,
for
but
the
it
hair.
Leaves. Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. But it leaves a big line, iron line, at the top of the hair where they do that kind of...
The initial, like that. Initial curl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just... It fucks me off. I think they're gack.
I agree with you, Jen.
Thanks, Podge.
I haven't seen them, but agrees with you.
Well, I mean, I don't want... I just... I wouldn't want that... Because I know heat destroys the hair as well, doesn't it? You can't...
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
does extreme heat any temperatures over 150 degrees.
What about me?
starts to affect the integrity of the hair. Your hair looks like a bulletproof. From the way I saw you brushing
it's quite good. Now it is. I will give it that. I do have nice hair. My mom once said to my sister, "Your sister got the because I've quite long legs like my mother." And mom once turned to my sister and goes, "You know, Tori, you got the looks." And then looks at me and goes, "You got the legs." And I have never. I've never been as insulted in my life. But I also got the hair. Turns out I actually got the hair too. So
you got the hair.
Also got
so
the hair.
Top and bottom.
Podge, the teeth are looking great as well. Teeth.
Thank you, Jen.
Teeth day. Two of us. We're doing quite well. Two of us are on our braces journey together. Carla, what do you think of the GHD corals?
Jen, I don't think much of the GHD curls. I think I think curling with a quote unquote flat iron has been around for a long time. I think if you're good at it, I think it's a great way of kind of being able to style your hair quickly. But as far as like actual, I know what you mean. I know what I have it in my head, all the same direction. I'm like, are we actually a cast member of California?
Yeah,
like,
do you know what I mean?
Shut your face, you're 19.
I do get it.
Yeah, shut your face, I'm 19. Yeah, it's like 2009 Debs vibes. That's what I'm talking about. But it's still happening, and it just shouldn't. It's absolute gack. And that's my unpopular opinion of the week. Get a wand. Get a fucking wand. Right, let's go to Carla's Stomper of the Week.
Carla's Stomper of the Week. Right, guys, favourite time of the week. And this one, you know, I like to take you different places. We like to go old school. We like to go housemate. We like to go all over the shop. And today, my stomper of the week is a song called Vibes. Okay. Vibes with a Z.
Wow.
And it's by our good pal Zayn.
Oh.
Zayn Malik.
Oh.
Verdi Funky Beat.
Oh, really?
Verdi Funky Beat. Yeah. It's from his 2021 album, Nobody Is Listening. Ironic, right?
Because nobody's...
Get it? Yeah. So funny. which I'm quite excited about, because, I mean, I hated the fact that, like... So, Zayn has bangers. They're never, like... You don't really hear them, but he does
Pillow
have bangers.
Talk is the only one that comes to my mind.
Oh yeah, Vibes is so good.
Is it?
It's like a smooth kind of R&B, but like it's a slower but a poppier one, so you could like play it in the car, you could play it, you know, it's like one of those kind of vibes. I highly recommend that song. It's a very good song. It's absolutely a very good song.
I feel like he's he bores me. Who's the other one?
His baby bores you?
No, he's a bit, I find him a bit boring.
I thought just because he just had a child, like
I mean, I'm sure, like, all babies are boring, so I'm sure the baby is boring, like, you know.
Do you know, I used to be, not as much anymore because they're broken up, but I was a big One Direction fan. I can tell you what all five of them sang for their initial audition for X Factor.
Oh, do it.
Right, go. Name the person. Zayn sang Mario, Let Me Love You.
An amazing song. He's got that R&B voice. I love it. I know what Niall Horan sang, which was Sick.
So Sick by Neo. So Sick.
Which he
songs.
I don't know why he did that. It's not for him. Okay. Harry
sang Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Acapella too.
See how opposite we are, Carla. I love that.
Of course.
Louis sang Play White Cheese, Hey There Delilah. But there's only a brief clip of it online.
I hate that.
And finally,
he didn't get too much like clout at the start.
He's the guy. He's the definition of actually
came out of the woodwork. Like
no, didn't come out of the woodwork. Like he's the definition of I don't want to say like what's the word like
a fifth member.
Not a milker. What's the word? Someone who just a tag along. He's kind of like the def. Like he obviously his personality definitely suited the band, but in terms of like his voice, I would definitely say now I don't mean that like he's a bad voice. Please, any One Direction stands, don't kill me. But in just terms of at the time for the initial X Factor audition, and finally Lee Payne was Cry Me a River, by
yes
whoever.
Lee Payne oh, he did the Michael Bublé version.
Michael
Bublé,
that was it. Michael Bublé version. Yeah.
I liked his song Familia. Was it with Louis Fonzie or
Familia?
I like that.
He had another banger.
He's been fuck all since.
With Quavo.
Strip that down.
I was listening to that earlier.
The car came on.
I prefer Liam Payne's stuff, and I like Harry's stuff. I feel like Harry will go
Harry
far.
Stuff.
He's the next Bowie, I'd say.
Like Fine Line is such a fucking good album.
To be fair, Niall Horan is the one that came out of the woodwork the most. He was the one who could, because he was like, he really learned his voice, his tone, and he's done so well outside the band.
He did a lot of work.
So Niall Horan is that, the grind. He really put the effort in.
I think it's funny because you always thought that Liam would do really well, Harry, because everybody fancied Harry. And I thought everyone would forget about Louis. I thought Zayn would do better than he is, funnily enough, because of Gigi and that whole thing.
Well, he left fourth,
But I think the thing is with Zayn, I think he just never really subscribed to the whole thing. Like, he never wanted to be in a boy band. He fucking didn't want to dance. He didn't want to do any of that. So now he's kind of happy being, like, a bit, like, releasing music when he wants to kind of, you know, one of those, like, not really.
I'd say they all, as well, at this stage, they all have enough. Like, Louis had such a tough life. So much has happened for him. But, like, he's, like, I'd say at this stage, they all have their money made. So they probably don't value success or certainly see success the same as we do for this stage. Because, like, they've sold out tours. They've sold out stadiums. So they obviously might want to do different things with their life or, like, you know, be entrepreneurs or invest in other things or go down different ventures.
Mm.
So I'm sure they're, what they are doing, they're probably happy with it.
I do. I will say though, like, Liam Payne, monumental disappointment. Like, the stuff that he's been releasing and like the fucking, it's tacky. Like, there is no other words. Like, it's always about like, yeah, that's what I mean, because it's always about like riding birds or any of that. Like, it's really embarrassing. It's kind of stuff that like Ray J was trying to release 10 years ago.
Did you ever see there's like a meme on YouTube? I love YouTube sometimes, and it's like the meme of Cheryl Cole and Liam Payne, and they edited loads of different Cheryl clips and Liam clips from that like entire series, and the entire clip, the entire video is like 15 to like 30 15 20 seconds long, and it's just them going
and they're just staring at each other.
It's such a funny video.
Love it.
The laughs we have, guys, huh?
Leave you with that clanger. Podge, thank you. Podge, thank you so much for coming on. It's been lovely chatting to you again.
Thank you very much for having me. It was really, really enjoyable. And a very heavy topic, but it was.
Yeah, it was, but... Think
ended on a light note.
Yeah, though, definitely.
One Direction, that's what we always, like to do. Always a way to end everything.
That's why we did our new segments, because it was just getting a bit heavy sometimes.
You can always win with 1D and not the toxic masculinity version. The band version. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
The podcast is where they can find my podcast, and Instagram is where I would direct people to most. And easily enough, my name is Podge Henry on all social platforms, so that's quite handy. Sorry, Carla, I'm tiring you out there, yawning. Mm. I'll get up to the...
I always yawn.
Instagram, or any streaming services.
Just Google Podge, you'll find him
just
everywhere.
Just Google me, yeah.
Yeah, he's on Twitter as well.
RedTube, yeah, YouTube, AnyTube.
Yeah. RedTube, YouTube, YouPorn, Pornhub. I'll be there. I'm there.
Oh, yeah. I'm not, by the way.
No.
He is.
Yeah. Just have a little look. You won't say it on here, but just have a little look anyway. Now, again, Podge, thank you so much. It was lovely chatting to you. And to everybody else, we will either see you on Patreon or we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.